Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
We'll get back to those calls in just a sec. 888-808-1019, the number to call. So, would you make your first reaction to Devin Williams signing last night?
My first reaction was,
with the Mets, obviously.
Yeah, of course. You better make sure. First, I was a little surprised by the amount of money. So, my first reaction
too
was
too much, or what?
I think it's too much money.
Okay.
Now, unless
was
it's
it 51 for 3 years.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, what setup man is making three years, $17-18 million a year?
But it's only
a lot of money.
Years.
I understand that, but
Diaz was just making $5 for $100.
Yeah, but Diaz is the closer.
Diaz is. I mean, Williams might be a closer.
Well, that was real. Again, the whole reaction was, okay, if he's the closer, that's a steal. I think that Devin Williams is still good. I think he got off to a rough start. I think he stabilized it enough for me to say, all right, he's got the chops for New York, so I'm not worried about that. But if Diaz bounces, now you still got to find somebody to set up Devin Williams, and Devin Williams is less than Diaz. So, it's a mathematical equation. To me, Williams plus Diaz equals amazing. Williams minus Diaz equals problematic, unless they are able to solve that with another stud closer. But they're not paying him, I don't think, unless they are going bonkers and they're going to have a $400 million payroll, which I guess it wouldn't surprise me at this point with Cohen. If he is the setup man, legitimately, $17 million a year, that would surprise me. So I kind of feel like Diaz is going to bounce, but I don't know for sure.
Oh, okay, so let's just take this in isolation of Devin Williams first.
Okay.
If this were last offseason, this to me would be a home run move. 3 years, 51 for...
I agree with that.
Okay. So now we're letting 1 year in New York, which, by the way, he handled adversity well.
Mm-hmm.
To show that you can, remember I was saying like the Yankees are kind of like a breeding ground for the Mets, or vice versa, if you could handle New York. The Mets have gotten a lot of former Yankees. It just continues to happen. Soto, Clay Holmes, Luis Severino, and now
Devin Williams. Better not be Bellinger next, by the way.
Well, I mean, who knows?
But gotta draw the line somewhere.
The point is, at least they weren't taking the chance on Williams in New York. The Yankees did that, mm-hmm. and then there were some struggles, but then he figured it out. And now, so now they know that he can handle adversity, a closer's role, being moved from that closer's role, being moved back, whatever. He can handle postseason. He can handle those things. And they got to see that firsthand watching the Yankees. And now they get him, a guy who was considered last offseason the best closer in the game, or the best one available. And certainly one of the top closers in the game for sure.
No
they get
question.
Him for 3 years, $51 million. If you factor in Diaz for 5 years, $100 million, I know you're just saying, well, it's money. What's the difference? And I still think that they could get Diaz. I mean, the reports are Andy Martino was saying that they're still in on Edwin Diaz. So I think that that's the idea, the dream bullpen, 8-9. But if Diaz wants 5 years, $100 million,
mm-hmm.
dude, that's insane for a closer.
So you think if those are the demands, which they will be, you think Cohen and Stearns balk, and they just say, okay, this is our plan B, and we're good with our plan B.
At this point, I believe that they will. Now, I don't know that. I'm just doing the math. Why wouldn't you sign, if your true plan was Diaz first,
yep,
and then Williams as the eighth inning guy,
uh-huh,
why wouldn't you make sure you lock Diaz up first,
uh-huh,
and see where you're at and then see if you could fit Williams in? They went the other way, which makes me think
they've got some intel that maybe he's going to go.
Well, Diaz,
or they don't want to give him the number.
Correct. He's at a number where they're like, well, we're not going to bend for that, mm-hmm, so let's go get the, you know, the airbender and bring him in here.
Okay.
And what they think is a good value, 3 years, $50 million. And worst case, if they can't come to an agreement with Diaz, which they feel would be fair, they at least have their closer in Williams, who was one of the best closers in the game.
And I'd rather have this situation where at least you secure an option in case, and now you can still negotiate with Diaz and you make the decision. Do you want to give him that kind of loot or do you not? And then you pivot. Now, if you wouldn't have signed Williams and Williams would have signed elsewhere, and then Diaz says, goes to the Dodgers, or I was talking to somebody last night. I know I told you who I was talking to, so don't say it. But I was talking to somebody last night in baseball. Yeah. We were texting last night, you and I, and I said I just got off the phone with somebody. That somebody told me he wouldn't be surprised if Diaz goes to Toronto. So we'll see. But just to keep it on Williams.
Industry sources here.
A little bit more. Yes, I'm going to take over Martino's role at SNY. I might need a job soon. Yeah. So, listen, I know that the stuff is still there for Devin Williams. I believe that. I believe his stuff is very, very good. And because we got a more than a glimpse of how he dealt with adversity, which was pretty good, I think his character is there. So I'm not worried about that stuff. I'm really not, Sal. Now, let's weave this in. We'll get back to the calls, obviously. Think about how we talked about and what we said about Abdul Carter. Like, when you draft somebody, and you've said it many times, like, you wish you could be in the room to interview somebody. Well, you can't until they get... But watching, from the Mets' perspective, watching somebody do their craft across town, the pressure cooker, the Bronx, the Yankees,
yeah, yeah,
and then seeing how they comport themselves and deal with the band stuff is like the interview. So from an emotional point of view, I think Devin Williams is fine.
Think about how great that is, that you can gather information on a free agent based on his time on another team in the same town. Like, if Devin Williams is coming off Milwaukee, the question would be, okay, well, you signed him to be your closer. Great. Can he handle New York? So the fact that you know that he can handle New York, even though it didn't go perfectly,
uh-huh,
that is a feather in his cap saying, hey, we know he can handle this. He'll be fine here, especially after getting the first year out of the way there. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Larry's in Westchester. What's up, Larry?
Hey, BT, Sal. How you guys doing today?
Good, Larry. What's up?
What's up, man?
Yeah, listen, you remember I called about a week and a half ago when the rumors first started about Williams signing with the Mets, and I told you I wanted no part of him as a closer, only if they sign Diaz and make an 8-9 combination. Mm-hmm. I still feel the same way, but with Diaz, I mean, if he gets that kind of money, more power to him. Uncle Steve just got a casino. He's got plenty of dough.
Yeah, but okay, let me just ask you, Larry, and we'll let you continue here, because I'm legit asking this question because I've been battling within myself for this. I did it last night, same thing on SNY. Like, I'm torn. Logically, to me, it's not the right move to give Diaz 5 years, $100 million. Would you, Larry, think it's the good move? Forget about how much money Cohen has. Would you invest 5 years at this point, 5 years, $100 million, in Edwin Diaz?
No, if it was me, no. I agree with you, sir. I wouldn't go that far. I'd go maybe three, tops four. But that being said, Diaz, he's not the only option. That guy on San Diego's out there, Suarez, is very good. I'd also feel good with him as a closer and Williams coming in number two. Listen, Sal, the history of the Mets, I go way back with them. They always get guys who are stars elsewhere. Go back to George Foster, Jason Bay, Robbie Alomar, Carlos Baerga.
Move
they come
on
to the Mets and they forget. Yeah, they forget how to play. I mean, it's just the history of this team. And Williams already started showing signs of slipping last year with the Yankees. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and thanks for the call, Larry.
How about the George Foster reference? Yeah, boy, he looked weird in a Mets uniform, huh?
Yeah.
George Foster.
As a young kid, I don't know why I liked George Foster. I know he wasn't very good with the Mets, but maybe he was good for a stretch, and that stuck in my mind.
Uh-huh.
I used to emulate him in wiffle ball. Anyway, point is, I think it's a good move bringing in Devin Williams, he has nasty stuff, elite stuff, one of the best closers in the game. And if you could now somehow get Diaz, let's say, 4 for $80 as opposed to 5, maybe that's where they meet in the middle. Yeah. Where they had 3 years remaining on his deal or whatever, or maybe 2 years remaining. They signed him before the 2023 season, right? So 2023, 2024, 20. So that means they had 2 years remaining on his deal. He opts out. If you give him an extra year, would basically would equate to the extra year, 3 years for 80, 85. And now you could get Diaz and Williams for $130 million total. Yep. That's something I'd be willing to do. Oh, you're going to go to $100 million for a closer?
Listen, here's one thing that I like about the approach early on this offseason with the Mets. They are finally open to everything.
Yeah.
It's not, let's run it back with Nimmo, let's run it back with this guy. No, they know that they've got to do some radical stuff. Now, maybe the Diaz situation is not radical. Maybe he's back and you've got a lights out 8-9 combination. I've got another option for you, which I'll throw at you in a minute and tell me what you think. But before I get there, but it's got to apply. What we've said about the Yankees obviously has to apply to the Mets. And one thing we've said about the Yankees is that, like, you can't lose Bellinger and then bring in Tucker and expect to win a World Series. It's got to be retain Bellinger and then add to it.
Right.
Okay. So I would say the same thing for the Mets. It can't be lose Diaz and then just replace him. It's got to be bring back Diaz and add to it, Williams situation.
Well, you could just replace Diaz with Williams. Again, I'm not saying that's ideal. I know the idea would be to pair the two together. But you can replace Diaz with Williams and still build a better ball club everywhere else.
But I'd also like to see, but I feel better about that if I know somebody is in the eighth inning, which leads me to a possible option here. All right, so the Mets have been tied to Valdez. I mean, I wouldn't give him $200 million, but it ain't my money. I do like him, and they need pitching. Let's say they get Valdez, and let's say they trade for, I'd love to say Skubal. So I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to think best of the best here for the Mets today. Trade for Skubal, sign Valdez. At that point, you could take Clay Holmes and make him your eighth inning man if Diaz leaves.
Right.
You could do that.
I mean, they still need starting pitching.
I'm saying if you get Valdez you get Skubal.
But you're still going to need some starting.
But you got Peterson. Maybe. You got McLean. If Senga stays and Senga says he wants to stay.
Maybe that's a part of their thinking. Like, hey, you know what? The Holmes experiment. He was solid, but are we going to rely on a guy? I'm not sure. I mean, we'd have to actually do some intel. I could ask some people maybe to do some reporting on that or whatever, find out. But I'm not sure what they think of Clay Holmes long term. It certainly would be an option. I don't think they even need to go there. Think about it, BT. Bullpens should not be the most important part of a team, especially in the offseason. You can't tell me that. I know it would hurt to lose Diaz. You can't tell me that it would be such a significant difference from Diaz to Devin Williams. The Yankees last year overcame, Devin was supposed to be their closer, and they figured it out. Luke Weaver wasn't even any good, and they figured out they went and got Bednar. There's no guarantee that Bednar's going to be some stud closer. These things are so fickle, bullpens are year to year, that I have a hard time investing big money in it, and I also don't think it makes that big of a difference. Diaz, best closer in the game last year, they won 83 games.
Well, I'm with you on that.
It's like everything else, defense, starting pitching, the offense. Like, there's a lot more to invest in.
This would be for your time. I know you know the name, but you know when Neil Allen was coming up, if you remember Neil Allen, I think he was number 13. Not when he was on the Cardinals as part of the trade, but when he was on the Mets and he was a closer. And he wasn't like a Hall of Famer, but he was one of the few bright spots on the team. And I'm talking about those wretched Met teams, late 70s, early 80s, like the Kingmans, just the awful teams. Mazzilli, and we love Maz, but those teams were bad. Pat Zachary, etc. It doesn't do you any good to have a borderline all-star closer if you're a 68-win team. And to your point about the volatility with the bullpen year to year, so the Yankees 2 years ago, Holmes was the closer, and then Weaver's closing in the World Series. And, you know, for the most part, Weaver did a good job until he didn't. And last year, Williams was the closer, and then it's Bednar who wasn't even on the team until the trade deadline. So, yeah, I am a staunch believer in if you've got to address like a top of the rotation or a big time potent bat, you do that now. But the closer stuff, you can always find a way to fix it in the season.
Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Chris is in the Bronx. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys, on Devin Williams, listen, I'm glad the Yankees didn't sign him. Sal, you are right. The season ended with him better than it started, but all of those losses, the blown saves count. And remember, the Yankees lost the division by one game. Otherwise, we would have won the division, and maybe we don't use all our starters in a wild card round, and we'll never know what would happen, obviously. But the point is, it wasn't a great start for him. We lost games thanks to him, and I just didn't have confidence in him. And he's going to have a new start now with the Mets with just as much pressure, or you could argue more, based on the way the Mets have gone all in. So I'm not sure about this guy.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I can understand that, and thank you for the call, Chris. Right. I can understand the Yankee fans wanting to move on from Williams and having reservations about him, but I'm a big believer in bounce back years, especially with bullpen. So last year, and the same way, the opposite, like last year, you and I had this conversation when the Yankees traded for Williams, and it was, well, Williams is going to be the best closer in the game. And I'm like, well, there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. Just because his numbers say one thing, year to year, new market, you just don't know. And now it's the opposite. Now it's like, well, Williams is not any good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Now it's Williams not any good. And now I would expect him to maybe revert to form a little bit, especially after handling adversity. It wasn't like he had a god-awful year and he couldn't rebound and have success with the Yankees. He handled adversity all year long. Was it great? No, obviously it wasn't. But now maybe he can put it all together and regain that top-tier form with the Mets.
I think he could. And by the way, I would almost guarantee that he does. Like trust me, I don't think we're sitting here in April, whether he's setting up Diaz or he is Diaz. I don't think he's going to have an ERA of 9 in April, which is what he had a year ago for the Yankees. Now, when he was scuffling, right, and I'm talking about the height of his scuffles, as a guy whose primary pitch, and it's an all-time changeup, as a changeup, if you don't have a fastball, like, there's got to be a differentiation between the fastball and the changeup, but it can't be 8 or 9 miles. Like, it's got to be greater than that. And his fastball, I don't know why. I'm not a pitching coach, but I know his fastball was not there in April. And when it's not there in April and you throw the changeup, he'll start guys with a changeup. Like, I tell my kids that I coach, I mean, young kids, don't throw back-to-back changeups. Don't throw a changeup on the first pitch because it's just like a slow meatball batting practice fastball. Obviously, in the pros, it's very different. Point being, once his fastball got back to where it usually was, it rendered his changeup a lot more effective, and he kind of went back to being Devin Williams.
BT and Sal on the fan. Joey Clams is in Brooklyn talking about some Giants football. What's up, Joey Clams?
What's this? It's the jacket. The jacket.
Yeah.
I took it off Rocket the Mail. He thought he was the toughest guy in that town.
It's the jacket, Tony. It's the jacket.
What's this?
Hey, Sally boy. Hey, don't BT. I still sport this black leather jacket, Cousine, to the max.
The Cousine. But that's a word I haven't heard in a while. I got you.
Hey, listen. You, Sally, you're right. This team needs discipline, the Giants. You got to bring Bill Belichick in here. The special teams were atrocious. They cost 17 points last night. They can't tackle. Their secondary is terrible. Belichick always had a great secondary. And you bring in Mike Lombardi to run to be the general manager. Bring the discipline back. Stop with the substitute teachers. You got to bring discipline back. And you two guys' daughters play softball?
Yes.
Go get Gabriella Fredette to train him, the best middle infielder shortstop that ever came through Bergen County.
Oh, Bergen County. Prospect. Right, there you go.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you for the call, Joey Clems. Not sure little Sammy's going to be playing softball anytime soon. But
well, it sounds like going to be out there getting thrown out of a game.
No.
I'll tell you, anybody that gets thrown out of a youth game, I'll tell you, they should.
Where was I the other day that I ran into somebody?
Oh, did they bring that up?
Yeah.
Well, tell me what happened.
Where the hell was I? Where did I go this weekend? I can't remember.
You went to the movies to see Wicked 2.
No, it wasn't there.
You were very strange. Really enthused about that as well. How was he? You never told me.
It was good, not great.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. It was strangely enthused.
Yeah, it's got to be honest.
Meanwhile, you asked me if I dressed up to go there. I'm like, no, I'm not dressed up. Everybody was dressed up.
I told you.
Costumes. I told you. Costumes and Wicked Witch costumes. It was good, not good. The first one was great. I couldn't love it anymore. Mm. Second one was good. I'd still say must watch to finish the story.
Okay.
God, I can't remember where the hell
somebody,
I was.
Recently. So somebody
but
comes
somebody
up
came
to
up to me and said, you know, hey, love the show. I coach with BT. And
I
might have been at Rails, actually.
Coaches with me or against me?
No, against you.
Okay.
I might have been at Rails picking up dessert.
Okay.
And they came up to me. I think that's where it was. It was like, I coach with BT, against BT.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was saying.
What was he saying? That's the whole point of the conversation, good or bad.
He was actually protecting you. He said he thought you went a little over the top, but thought that the ump did have it in for you.
There you go.
I was like, are you sure? I go, no cameras are here, not on mic. You could tell me the truth. And he did say that. He's like, BT may want a little bit. I'm like, I'm sure that he did. But he said the ump, he thought, had it in for you, and it was more the ump's fault.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, further exoneration here. I did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I actually showed you the video when I got back from vacation. which I didn't post because I just wanted it to end. I did not want to be in the news in the New York Post with a picture of me pointing and, you know, say with my name and the bold head ejected from Little League game, whatever it said. But I did show you that, and I showed Boomer and Gio because they were the ones who were talking about it more than anybody.
Yeah.
And somebody called into their show, and of course they were talking about it. And I showed both of you guys, and I'm like, do I look guilty here? And I showed you, and I showed them, and I was pretty clean.
Yeah.
You saw the video. What is that?
Yeah, I mean,
you're not going to back me up with that?
No, the video, yes.
Oh, okay.
The video, now it was also hard to see. I'm like, where are you again? The video. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Get back to your calls on the side. Obviously talking some Mets, Yankees, free agency with Devin Williams. I'm expecting a lot of action next week with, is it next week?
The December winter meetings. Yeah.
Is going to be probably, you would think, with the Mets and Yankees, with all they have to offer, I would expect a very action-packed week at the winter meetings next week. But obviously the Devin Williams stuff with the Mets signing him away from the Yankees and the Giants lost last night, 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I thought for the longest time Devin Williams couldn't pitch here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of Yankee fans felt the same way.
Yes.
And I believe the way his season concluded in September, the way he pitched in the playoffs until the bitter end when he came in with guys on base in Game 4 against Toronto,
right.
I think Devin Williams did actually a pretty good job of shattering that narrative that he couldn't handle New York. I also think because you guys acquired, as you mentioned, David Bednar, you felt, okay, if he comes back, his role is as a seventh or eighth inning guy.
Yeah.
And I made a comment about this a few months ago, and it may have sounded weird, but I remember when Devin Williams showed up to Knicks opening night. Aaron Judge was there, and who was the other Yankee that was there? Was Aaron Judge?
Oh. Was it Cam Schlittler?
Yes.
With him and
yes.
Devin?
Yes.
I think you're right. So it's Cam Schlittler, it's Aaron Judge, and it's Devin Williams. And obviously, we're all making a big deal out of, Judge is there, Schlittler's there. And I remember saying to you, boy, I got to tell you, Teague, this guy loves New York. If this guy was who I thought he was, and a lot of us thought he was, he would have raced out of this town as soon as the season was over.
Right.
And so I think most of us eventually turned out to be wrong about Devin handling New York to the point, and this is the one thing I remember about our offseason plans. A few months ago, here on Evan and Tiki, we all unveiled our Yankee offseason plan and our mm-hmm. Met offseason plan. I couldn't get past something Sean said.
Okay.
A part of Sean's offseason plan was signing Devin Williams and giving him $20 million a year.
Wait, what did I say about Devin Williams?
I don't remember. remember if you even included
him. I don't think I did either.
I don't think so.
He doesn't seem familiar, but did he come up in our free agent thing?
He did. He did. We'll reveal that answer maybe at another day.
All right, cool.
But I remember saying to Sean, you want this guy back? And he's like, yeah, I kind of trust him. And so I don't think you represent every Yankee fan by any stretch, but I think that you represented the part of Yankee fans who ended up warming up to him enough to where you were good with bringing him back, which would have sounded unfathomable in May.
I'm going to guess, Sean, a lot of that was because you look at Luke Weaver and you're like, all right, I can't trust him anymore. It's just there just weren't other options.
So, and this all ties together. First of all, your point about 20 mil, I completely misread what I thought because of a booming reliever market. I thought a lot of these guys would get paid a ton. I'm kind of shocked Devin Williams didn't get paid more.
Yeah.
But I'm an idiot and that's fine.
He did pretty well, though.
He did well. But when I throw out $20 million a year over that night, I understand.
He's getting close to that.
I understand.
Right.
I understand. He didn't fully get that, but understand that.
Right.
There's two parts of my brain. Number one, I'm a big believer in how year-to-year major league relievers are. And knowing that Devin Williams had a bad year and got it together at the end gave me confidence that I do think Devin Williams will have a very good season next year, even with the New York Mets. Okay, that's not a Yankee Met thing. I was going to bank on that rebound. The other part of it is, man, that dude last year, how many gut punches, how many boos from the crowd, how much nonsense did you take? And it's pretty admirable that by the end of the year, he kept taking those licks, kept answering those questions, kept hearing those boos. And I was stunned as much as anybody that we got to October. He was as reliable as anybody not named David Bednar in that bullpen. And I think that says a lot about his mentality to go through what he went through last year in New York and stand above it in the end. Right. Man, there were a lot bigger, you know, losers on this team than Devin Williams by season's end. And that kind of showed me guts, and I wanted him back on that.
And I know a lot of jokes are going to be made about the Yankee Mets stuff. And there'll be some Met fans who take pride in taking a Yankee away, or Yankee fans who are going to mock the Mets for signing a former Yankee. What you just laid out is a part of the appeal of someone who played for the Yankees. Devin Williams has been New York battle-tested.
Yeah.
If the Mets signed Pete Fairbanks or Robert Suarez, two relievers I like, by the way, one of the questions I would bring up to you, or I would say it on the Rico, is, I don't know how he's going to handle New York. This guy's just experienced it. So one of the perks of taking a Yankee away isn't, ooh, I get to make fun of my brother. It's that guy just experienced the challenges of New York.
When you think about, when you say that, though, you say playing in New York, it's part because of the atmosphere here, the sports fandom here from both fan bases, but also the media pressure. So when you go from the Yankees to the Mets, does that lessen or is it more because of the up-and-coming, you know what I mean? Like the up-and-coming nature
Mets. A little bit. Here's the way I would frame the pressure of a Yankee and the pressure of a Met. If I'm trying my best to be an IBO here, I will be accused of not being. It's a little bit less, but it's still a lot. Like the Mets are not the Nets. They're not the Islanders.
No.
They're almost co-equal to the Yankees, but they're not the Yankees.
But I was saying it might be worse only because the now hugely inflated expectation. Like, if you'd been here 5 years ago and you're on the Mets, it'd be like, okay, you know, good luck, man. Now it's like, dude, we need to win a championship.
Well, but you know what,
like,
I think
if
is,
if you screw up, you're directly not helping us win a championship.
Well, there's two things about Devin Williams that are being affected here. Number one, and I think I will speak for 97% of Met fans. Very rarely do we all agree on something. Mm-hmm. Usually it's very split. I give you my opinion. It may not be the majority opinion. Most Met fans' opinions on the Devin Williams signing is, tell me if Edwin Diaz is coming back. If Edwin Diaz is coming back, we all love the move. Who wouldn't be enthralled by Devin Williams as an eighth inning guy, considering for 3 to 4 years he's been one of the best closers in baseball?
Right, not instead of.
If it's instead of, I think a lot of us are worried. A lot of us, and by the way, it's kind of unfair. Because between 2020 and 2024, Devin Williams was as good a closer as anybody in baseball.
Yeah.
It was negatively affected by what was not a great year for the Yankees last year, even if some of the underlying numbers tell you that he was a little unlucky. It doesn't matter. We still saw him pitch to a 5 ERA, right? It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So I think the opinion on Devin Williams has been affected twofold. Number one, I don't think we appreciate how good he was because of what he did last year. And B, is he replacing Edwin Diaz or not? If he's replacing Edwin Diaz, I raise my hand and tell you, I'm worried. If he's not, and it's in conjunction with Edwin Diaz, let's go. We got ourselves a bullpen. Is that not
a fair view
of the situation?
That feels right because that's what the Yankees were feeling.
Yep.
It's not like when he was instead of David Bednar, because David Bednar just wasn't here yet, it was like, oh, we're in trouble, man. What the hell are we doing with the closer? Luke Weaver isn't evolving into, like, what are we doing? And all of a sudden, he became the compliment to David Bednar. Was like, all right, yeah, let's go.
Right.
Your chest is puffed out. We don't have to worry about the back end of our bullpen anymore because now he's coming to his own, and David Bednar is the guy. So it's the same exact feeling, to be honest with you.
He's a weapon. He's not a closer.
Yes.
And I think if you absorb it that way, you're pumped up if you're a Met fan.
Now, here's where we are underrating David Williams. We all are. I'm a part of it, too, because I can't ignore the fact that I watched the Yankees last year. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a part of what we do around here. In the 5 years, parts of five, six seasons he was in Milwaukee, not only did he save a grand total of 68 games, you know what his ERA was?
No, what?
Just guess. Career ERA of Devin Williams before he became a New York Yankee.
Before, I'm going to say it was 220.
220, very good. It's a good guess. But you're not close.
What was it?
1.83.
Wow.
I think we forget how good he was.
400 points off, man. That's close.
That's a half a run off, dude.
That's true, but whatever.
That's close.
It's not like it was egregious. It's not like I said 3.8.
The point is, we of all, Yankee fans, Met fans, I'm in this group too, I admit it, we underrate him because last year was mediocre. Because
when he was ours, we didn't like what we saw.
He wasn't the dominant pitcher he was in Milwaukee.
You're right. That's because Pete ruined him.
Yeah, Pete Alonso ruined him. That's right. So I think that this is another David Stearns move, much like the Marcus Semien trade, where it's all about what happens next before we really have a strong view on it. You keep Edwin Diaz, I think it's 98% approval rating. If they lose Edwin Diaz, and this is the replacement, dare I say, I think the numbers are far less.
First of all, Evan, I'm on your side of bringing back Diaz, but let me give you a third option.
What's the third
option? What about the combination of Robert Suarez and Devin Williams? Does that equal Edwin Diaz?
So I believe that if they lose Edwin Diaz, that's what's going to happen. I do. Mm. I do. I think if they lose Edwin Diaz, they will sign another top-line reliever. I don't know if it's Robert Suarez. It may be Pete Fairbanks.
Right.
It may be someone else.
So two guys are replacing Edwin. It's not Devin Williams replacing Edwin Diaz. It's two closers replacing Edwin.
No, you mean and Edwin and then someone else.
No, meaning if Edwin Diaz...
So two more?
No, if Edwin Diaz leaves...
Yeah, so two more are replacing him.
No, Devin Williams already.
Devin is one of them. Oh,
and one more guy, either Suarez or Fairbanks.
That sounds right.
Yeah,
two for one.
That's what I agree would happen. Do I want that? No, because the worry you have about Robert Suarez and even Devin Williams in the role of being the closer is I don't think they're Edwin Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
And Edwin Diaz proved over the last few years, even with his downs, and trust me, he had plenty of downs. I was running this guy out of town back in 2019. He has proven such a reliability that, no, I don't prefer that. But I do think that's what would happen. I think the Mets are trying to bring Edwin Diaz back. I think that he's asking for a fifth year. The Mets don't want to give him a fifth year. Will the Dodgers give him a fifth year? Will the Blue Jays? I have no idea. I think there's a world in which he's gone. There's a world in which he stays. But the Mets are in a much better place if he stays. That's where we're at. But the move last night was a good move.
Mm.
It's just all dependent on what happens next. That's really what it comes down to. Oh, Tommy. Should I do it now or should I do it later?
Do it later.
Do what?
Always.
Should I do it now or should I do it later?
Always do it now.
Okay.
Do it next year.
Tommy.
What?
I have some clips I'd like to play.
Uh-oh.
And here's what's kind of challenging. Tommy controls the clips, so I have to ask him nicely to play a certain clip. So I have a few Tommy Lugauer clips from this past season that I would like to play and, of course, have Tommy have a fair chance to respond. You can choose which one you want to play. You want to play the Devin Williams' finish clip or the Pete Alonso broke Devin Williams clip? It's your call. Go ahead.
We all know Pete Alonso broke him, whether it's tipping his pitches or whatever the case may be. He can't handle New York. He can't handle the big moment.
He can't handle New York. He can't handle the big moment. Okay, give me one more Tommy Lugauer clip from this past year.
Devin Williams, as we know it, is finished.
Oh.
With the Yankees.
Wow.
You want to kind of defend yourself? Because those are your words.
Definitely.
Go ahead.
I think it's, to take Sean's point and take it a step further, I think it's admirable that Devin Williams didn't run from New York. Like, he could have easily said he's got me screaming on the radio. How many Yankee fans? Mm-hmm. Other than Anthony Volpe, Devin Williams was public enemy number one. He could have went back to Milwaukee, went to a mid-market team. He said, you know what? I'm going to stick around here because I am tougher than people are suggesting. I can handle New York. And if Edwin Diaz does leave, I don't want him to, I could be the closer of the Mets. I can handle the big stage. So to me, that shows a guy that can handle New York because he didn't run away from New York. You're smiling. I thought that was a great answer.
He ran from New York. He went to Queens. He didn't really go to New York.
Well, who knows where he stayed in his living?
I know we talk about the Mets here because we're New York sports fans, but they're not like, when you think of New York, you think of the Yankees and the pressure comes with it.
Okay, then there's no pressure coming with the Mets. There's zero. The Savannah Bananas, there's no pressure with the Mets?
I mean,
there's a ton of pressure.
The Savannah Bananas
Even if we learn anything from Juan Soto, the Yankee fans will have deranged syndrome with Devin Williams, and they'll be more focused on his appearances than they will David Bednar. Am I wrong?
Well, here's where you're wrong.
I don't know if the Yankees really claim. They don't claim him, really.
But here's why, Tiki. Devin Williams was great before Evan laid it out. He was great before he got to the Yankees, and then he wasn't great with them. So how dare he be great with another team? The Yankee fan wants Devin Williams to be our problem. They want us to go through the same thing that they went through with Devin Williams. If he thrives, it will bother them.
Can you do me one more favor?
Yeah.
Can you play those clips one more time? I need to hear it again.
There's a third one. Do you want
that one? There's a third one I forgot about?
Fired up.
Go ahead. Devin Williams is worse than Ryan Helsley?
1,000%. 1,000. We went higher than 100. I didn't realize there was higher than 100. 1,000%.
Can you play those three clips again? The audience needs to hear it as we judge if Tommy is a flip-flopper or if Tommy evolved with Devin Williams. Go ahead.
We all know Pete Alonso broke him, whether it's tipping his pitches or whatever the case may be. He can't handle New York. He can't handle the big moment. Devin Williams, as we know it, is finished.
That's the t-shirt one.
And Devin Williams is worse than Ryan Helsley?
1,000%.
Wow. Wow.
This is rough.
Yeah. It's crazy that Pete Alonso broke him and only one of those guys is a Met right now.
I mean, it's possible.
Thank God he's a Oriole Helsley.
Yeah. Almost forgot about that. Ryan Helsley's an Oriole, ladies and gentlemen. That's a tough one to come back from, Tommy.
Mm. Put it on a t-shirt then. What do you mean it's a tough one to come back from?
We don't want to outlay the expense.
No.
Yeah. How many times
going to care?
How many t-shirts does one need with this takes, though?
Yeah. I think that the Jalen Brunson one was unique enough. Williams sucks. Right. Like, everyone was saying it.
Right. When he established himself as a star, then we'll get the t-shirt made.
All right. If everyone
then
was
it'll
saying
be worth it.
Yeah. So if everyone was saying it, then why am I the one on trial here? And I already told you
because you're the one who gave your opinion that you love the move.
Right. I do love the move.
Because you're a generational talent, Tommy.
Exactly.
That's why.
If you had come on and said, look, while I'm positive, Tommy, I hate this move. I think the guy's broken. I think the guy stinks. I don't want him here. I wouldn't even play the clips. I'd say, okay, that's Tommy's opinion. But because you completely contradicted yourself, I had to play the clips and see what's evolved. And I don't know what really has evolved because those comments that you made, the Ryan Helsley, Devin Williams, Lugash debate series, which we had, was in the middle of September. It wasn't in July. Obviously, he was traded for in late July. You did it, like, recently. Devin Williams has barely pitched since that debate series. And you said he's broken, and he's finished, and he can't handle New York. And now you like the move. It's just weird.
Evan, it's been a common phrase that's been used today, and I'll use it here. No comment. I have no comment. I've already said what I have to say. I have no further comments about it.
All right. Well, we hold everybody accountable here. So if you have clips of me, Tiki, or Sean saying things about Devin Williams, you can certainly play it back for us. But you have to find it and then send it to us because that's how it works. Right. I can't find everything.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Started the show talking about the Giants, and really it's not about anything that Joe Shane said yesterday. It's more about what the people above Joe Shane decide to do about Joe Shane. And at this point, I don't know how anybody can continue to support him based on what he's done. It's nothing personal. It's based on the track record. You saw Joe Shane and what he could try to do to build a team. He had 4 years to do it. It progressively got worse. So at this point, it's above him. And I don't know any way, shape, or form how anybody could let him decide who, in fact, is going to be the next head coach to lead the way. So we'll see what happens after the season with the Giants. Obviously, a lot of baseball hot stove. Ton of intrigue there as well. And we didn't really dive into Alonso here. Is your feeling on Alonso changing as we get closer to the winter meetings as far as the Mets bringing him back? Or where do you feel? Yeah, we've heard some crumbs out there about Alonso and the Red Sox. It doesn't seem like they're going to be all in. Mm-hmm. Do you think the market will be to a point where Alonso will have a significantly better offer that would make it worth it leaving the Mets?
Yes, I think it's going to be far more robust than it was a year ago. Now, the question is that first, is that kind of offer out there? And as I just said, I believe it will be. Now, I don't mean like 7, 8, 9 years, but like 5 years, maybe a sixth. Six, maybe five, I would almost guarantee. And I think at that point, well, number one, the Mets got a tough decision. And I think at that point, you know, a very tough decision, and I could see them going either way. And both ways could be justified, letting them go or, you know, doubling down and saying, all right, big boy, you can hit behind Soto again, go do your thing. I could really understand both ways. I would let him walk myself. I really do think the Red Sox are going to be aggressive for him. I do. And if they are, and I saw something, was it, who the heck, no, wasn't Heyman, maybe Rosenthal? All these kind of stories bleeding, you know what I mean? But I think it was Rosenthal who said that he thinks, and this was fairly recent, within the last couple of days, he thinks that the Red Sox could make a play for both Pete and Bregman, which is something that we talked about, surmised weeks ago.
I don't know why, and I could be underestimating. I don't see that robust market developing. And maybe that's Boris's genius behind the scenes with Alonso. I can't imagine Pete Alonso being more valuable to any other team. Yeah, the circumstances have changed a little bit from where we were a year ago. Pete had a big year. There's no qualifying offer attached. I can't imagine it's going to change that drastically from when he couldn't even get any crumbs last offseason to now all of a sudden people waking up being like, you know what? Let's give Pete Alonso 6 years. I just have outside of the Mets and the Mets maybe extending a year beyond the average offer or where the market is at. I just don't see it, especially the Red Sox.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's why I disagree a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because, so this year, the circumstances are different. All right, you want to tell me, like, the qualifying offer, big damn deal. But I think that that, on some level, dissuades a lot of people. I do. So that's number one. Number two, think about where we were sitting last year, because we were diagnosing this every day as well, along with the Soto stuff and some other serious stuff for both of these teams. Last year, going into this year, he had to dispel the notion that he wasn't morphing into a hitter that was going to hit 217 and 220 moving forward. That he basically wasn't becoming Dave Kingman overnight. Because early on, we know this, as a rookie, 270, couple of 260s, like a functional, a very, you know, modern-day baseball, a very good batting average for that kind of prolific power. And then he just dropped off the radar. I know the RBIs went down as well. That was an anomaly, and I don't think that worried too many people. But the batting average, even though it's an antiquated stat, If you're hitting 220 versus 260, yeah, that is a massive difference in terms of perception. So when you couple that, Sal, with the absence of the QO, I think it's going to be much more desirable, and I do think he's going to get that fifth year.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. John is calling from Spring Lake, New Jersey. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, guys. Congratulations. I mean, great run in terms of the show. It's always appreciative to have guys like you who are passionate about local teams provide your insights. So best of continued success wherever you land.
Hey, by the way, thank you. And by the way, you know what I love? Spring Lake. Have you ever been to Spring Lake?
It's like I have not.
It's got the old Irish money out there. You don't say that too
where
often.
Where is that? Far from
New Jersey.
Okay.
Great
BT
spot.
Is the reason why we call, is the reason why we call it the bubble.
Yeah.
So it's a great place to be.
Go on, only Irish people.
No, we're not going to discriminate. But no, it's
sure
definitely old Irish money. I love Spring Lake. It's beautiful. I've been there a couple times. What's going on, man?
So mark the day on the calendar. 12/1/25 is Liberation Day for my family. I ended 60 years as being a season ticket holder for the Jets.
Wow.
60 years. I can remember when my dad would drive like a little Plymouth Duster to Shea Stadium. He was too cheap to park there, and we had to park on Roosevelt Boulevard and take the 7 train in a couple of stops. So it's been a long run, but it was time to end the relationship. But I'll always bleed green. I think the thing that and also too on that note, I don't know if you can't cancel your credit card on the auto renew either the New York Jets app website or the app. So which is kind of, very frustrating. You actually have to speak with your ticket rep.
Yeah, they rope you in. They make it hard, like everybody else in the world.
Yeah, they make
it
hard. It's unbelievable. And I think, you know, what you guys might be missing, I know you don't like to get political, but I think the thing you're missing with, you know, free agents coming to any one of the four major sports teams is why, if you're a free agent, why would you want to come to this area? I mean, you've got incompetent politicians in Trenton, Albany, New York City. You got crime through the roof, taxes. I mean, outside of the outlier contracts like Judge or Soto, why would you come here?
Well, I got to tell you here, John, listen, that's a much deeper question, which I have no problem talking about, although I'm not going to really get into it here. I hear you, but I don't fully hear you. Because I've said for years that I don't think New York is that desirable. And I'm not even talking about, you know, what happened with the mayor or up in Albany. And there's real elements there for sure. Again, could do that on a different platform. I'm talking about the weather. I'm talking about the taxes. I'm talking about the traffic. I'm talking about the pollution. I'm talking about everything is hard here. And, you know, I don't know, maybe because I'm from here and I love it. And the same with you. We put up with it. We're a little more tolerable. But, I mean, if you're not from here and you've got equal offers and you could go live in a state with no or different income tax and better weather and I'm just throwing out a number, say a $2.5 million home here is like a $6 million home somewhere else, and that is the case in a lot of places, well, then those other places could be and should be more desirable on some level, politics aside.
Well, you think about it from a free agent perspective. You can choose where you want to raise your family, have your career, all those different things. So if the offers are equal or close to that, then I agree with him saying, why? For me personally, it's hard because I'm from here. My family's here.
100%. Like, we love
not,
the energy.
It's not all things equal. If everything were equal and I could move my entire family to a different spot, I would do it.
You got to bring the bagels, the pizza. You got to bring some real stuff with us.
But even that I'd rather eat healthy and not even deal with that. I don't want to deal with the traffic anymore. I'm tired of it. So New York progressively, it feels like it's gotten worse. Now, I don't know other spots. I'm sure there are more desirable locations to live in, certainly weather-wise at the very least.
Absolutely.
So if I'm a free agent, I'm thinking, well, why do I want to go deal with New York and all the nonsense and get the morons on the radio yelling at us and the media and the fans are nasty? Why would I want to deal with that when I could go to San Diego, whatever, pick a spot?
I understand what you're saying.
If all things are equal, I'm doing the same job that I love to do, playing baseball in the big league.
Less pressure,
easy peasy, less taxes, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And I could build a huge home, be in space, you know, not have to worry about the traffic. There are more desirable locations than New York as far as that goes. The reason or the lure of New York is if you care about what you're doing and you're passionate about what you're doing and you don't look at it as just a job, there's no better place to have success here. Because Jalen Brunson could go have success with the T-Wolves and have a great life in Minnesota, and I'm just picking that spot, it came into my head.
Mm-hmm.
he's not going to be what he is here in New York and revered as a New York sports. It's just not going to mean as much in Minnesota as it does here, or whatever. Pick a spot.
I'm with you. The other thing I think you have to throw in here, you know, I've used the term. I remember Teek and I first started talking about this years ago, where Madison Avenue has been mobile forever now. There was, yeah. I'm going to use Reggie as an example, right? So the Yankees get to the World Series in 76. They're playing the big red machine. They get swept 4-0. Obviously, the Yankees didn't have Reggie at that point. And then that year, they go out that offseason, go out, they get Reggie Jackson. Now, obviously, George paid a ton of money. We know that. But, you know, for Reggie Jackson to come to this city in 1977, the marketing opportunities were never going to be there with the A's and the Orioles, his two former teams. It just weren't gonna, it wasn't going to happen. So you almost, on some level, needed to be here. Are you telling me that? Now, eventually, it kind of led to their demise. But think about Doc and Darryl when they're coming up, the milk commercials, being on buses. Yeah. Are they going to have that kind of profile playing for the Orioles? Probably not, no. So you kind of had to come here to get those extra endorsements, the, you know, the Rolexes, the suits, whatever it might be, the cars. You know, Clyde Frazier with the cars that he used to drive in the 70s. Like, you needed New York to maximize your off-the-court or off-the-field worth. You don't need that anymore. You don't need to be here to make that money.
David is calling from Yonkers. What's up, David?
Hey, just on a personal note, I'm really going to miss listening to you guys on a fairly recent transplant to the area. And I moved here when you folks started the show together. And you were a real lifeline for me when I moved here. And I just really treasured listening to you for the last 2 years.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, bro.
I really mean it. And the second thing is, if you don't mind me getting back to Bill Belichick for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I think BT was talking about it earlier, that he has done a – he did a terrible job of building a staff. It's only the last 3 or 4 years in New England.
Yes.
And from what I'm reading, he's doing the same sort of hiring friends and family down in North Carolina. And I think – you know, I think he shows really poor judgment in terms of how he selects staff, and you could also say how he selects significant others as well. I think that would be a real detriment.
I wouldn't say that about his girlfriend. I do think she's been a distraction. I wouldn't say that he's picked the wrong one. He's happy, and that's what matters for him. Listen, picking a staff is, and these are things that I never really thought about, like when I was younger. Just get me the coach. The coach will figure it out. Yeah, I mean, there's only a couple of Bill Parcells and Pat Riley's and guys like that, right? So or young Buck Showalter's with that kind of a mind. So you do need to build out a staff. And I ask you, with Bill Belichick, and again, I don't think there's much of a chance at all that he'll be the head coach of the Giants, but even if he wanted to do it and the Giants wanted him to do it, most of the people that he's worked with during his best years have other jobs. So unless they're – you bring McDaniels? He's going to leave Vrabel and Drake May to come here? I don't think so.
No.
You know, Matt Patricia, when he's in the right role, I don't know. Mayo, I don't think that would really be very realistic, and I think he'd have to reach with the staff.
I know, but
which would be a bad thing.
But I think now we're getting so nitpicky. I'm not minimizing the importance of a staff, but come on now. I mean, what are we doing? So it's like the Mets with the base coach. Yeah, Antoine Richardson. Oh, how are they going to survive without the first base coach when nobody even knew who the hell he was until Soto stole 30 bases? Oh, my God.
Almost 40, too.
How could this happen?
He's good, Sal.
Okay, so now it's not about the manager anymore. It's not about the players. It's about the first base coach. And in this particular case, well, it's not about Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick. It's about his staff. Like, what are we doing here? He's the head coach. He should be able to figure out his staff. I'm not minimizing the importance of having a good staff around you, but you tell me Belichick, in all his years in coaching, can't find a competent offensive and defensive coordinator, or one that he can teach on the go and maybe be a little bit more hands-on to try to develop one of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, he's 73, 74. I don't know how much time I want to waste developing a staff.
You know, also,
I want it to be ready. Let's go get that puppy out of the microwave. Let's start winning from day one.
Also, it could be appealing because you could be hired under him and know that when he eventually retires, maybe you could be the next guy. That would be an appealing thing as well. BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls. We come back. One more hour to play with. 888-808-1019. Mike Puma had a report that Jeff McNeil and Lindor get into another fight throughout the course of this 2025 season, and that Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto had a icy relationship or something like that. Okay, so big deal. Like, to me, not everybody's going to like each other. You have to work together. Okay, fair enough. You go out there and try to win ball games. It shouldn't be everybody needs to be friends. You think in 86 they were all best friends? Also, this is not new news. Fans maybe don't want to believe it. This is stuff that, I mean, come on. I've heard about it and alluded to it and talked about it for I don't know how many months. Nobody wants to believe it. And by the way, they could believe whatever they want. These are, I believe the report, to be factual. I mean, I've heard, like I said, similar stuff over the years. But the Mets got to the 2024 NLCS with McNeil and Lindor on the same team. And those guys hated each other for how long ago? You know, did they get into the issue with 2021?
With the raccoon thing?
Yeah, the rat and the raccoon.
I think it was 2021, right?
Okay, right. So it's been going on for years. So this is nothing new. And I'm sure that there's some issue with Soto and whatever it may be. Okay, get over it is what I would say. Get over it. Sack up. You're both making hundreds of millions of dollars. Sack up. I don't know who's at fault here. And I really don't care. I know Soto was an absolute beast, and if I had to pick one, I'm picking Soto and building everything else around him, but neither of them are going anywhere, so it's on Carlos Mendoza and the Mets to figure out how to get them playing together, and even if they hate each other, I don't care. It can't impact the team in a negative way, and I really don't think that had much to do with the Mets' struggles this year.
There was a point where Mike and Chris didn't even speak to each other during commercial breaks, and they were still one of the absolute greatest shows in the history of shows. I mean, if you're talented, if you work well together, you can still achieve ultimate success. I do agree. Yeah, listen, it's in the corporation, in the real world, there's not going to be, you know, every relationship is not going to be, you know, what we would want it to be. In a perfect world, we'd all get along and everything would be easy and everything, you could trust people. But as we know, there's all different shapes and different personalities, and everybody doesn't always fit. So I'm okay with that, provided the pieces work. Jeff McNeil's not good enough to have any issue here, so I just got to get rid of him. Like, I get it. If Jeff McNeil was hitting 320 and still winning batting titles, I'd tell Lindor to just get over it and shut up. Now, I also do think it's going on for a while, so there is such a thing to have, like, an early flare-up and then maybe get some resolution, and then it never really fully goes away, the tension, and it resurfaces a couple of years later. And at that point, if the player is not a difference maker and Jeff McNeil is not, then I would just move on from Jeff McNeil, and I think they're going to try to trade him, and they've already got a new second baseman, so that's one thing. The other thing that I don't get, and, you know, for the quote-unquote captain, and he hasn't been officially named captain, why all these little flare-ups with some personalities on the team? Like, what is the deal with Juan Soto? Is it from the WBC? What the hell's the deal? Is he jealous because Soto came in and stole some of his shine or his mojo, whatever it is? I don't know. But, I mean, McNeil should be on bended knee thankful that Juan Soto came to Queens to bat in the first third of the batting order. Lindor, yeah. To make the Mets offense, you know, and they're going to need some more things here, more potent and eventually good enough to win. I don't get it, but I do believe when there's smoke like this that there probably is just maybe an unfixable disconnect in personalities, and McNeil's not good enough. Just get rid of him.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't make that the primary reason. They stuck with McNeil forever. I would have traded them years ago for the same thing. This is not a shock. Like, they joke around publicly and call him Happy Jeff. So we know Jeff has always been a selfish player.
Yes.
And years ago, they should have made the decision to move on. I thought they were going to, when Buck Showalter took over, I thought they were going to move McNeil to third at the very least, because I didn't think that the two of them, Lindor and McNeil, could work as the double play tandem up the middle. And then they had him play second base, and they actually had some success. So I was shocked at that. But that, you're going back 4 or 5 years, like, The issue with McNeil to me is nothing new, and the Mets have known this, and maybe they just can't get proper value on the trade market for him, and they're paying him whatever they're paying him, which is overpaid for McNeil. He's just not that good. At this point, you might as well keep him and have him be, unless you could get a proper return, you might as well keep him and have him be the first player off the bench. Can play a little third, can play a little second, can play some corner outfield. And again, you know me, I want him off the team.
I know you do.
But you're telling me you've stuck with him all this time. The proper role for him would be a bench player, a utility player. You can't ride it out with one more year, assuming that there's no value there. What, because Lindor doesn't like him? He hasn't liked him in forever.
I wouldn't ride it out. To me, it's unnecessary. I get you. I know he could play around. You know, play some left, third. I get it. There's versatility there.
You're just giving him away?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I saved myself $15 million. He's not going to play second base,
well,
but he's already got one.
Somebody takes the full contract, sure. It's got to be, You're not just going to dump him for nothing.
No, you're not going to DJ LeMahieu because he's still a functional baseball player. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, maybe you have to nibble off, you know, $2 or $3 million, $4 million or to further incentivize somebody to take him. Hey, here's a low A arm, that rookie boy, whatever, low A that throws 98 that we don't really know about, but he's intriguing. Take him as well just so we don't have to eat money or whatever it might be, or to get a player that we think could be more serviceable or as serviceable in that kind of flex role that we think Jeff McNeil could do. I just, you know, really, I really would like to get to the bottom of this Lindor stuff, because McNeil, to me, that's almost an ancillary piece. Like, he is what he is. All right, so you got a little issue reportedly with Soto. You definitely have an issue with McNeil. You know, even when Nimmo, before Nimmo was traded, remember that? There were whispers and there were reports and there was some innuendo that Nimmo was a little, I don't want to use the wrong word, I'm not trying to make it more than it was, but either disgruntled or disenchanted, something along those lines.
Well, he wanted to be the captain.
Where he wanted to be the captain.
Lindor wanted to be the captain. Nimmo wanted to be the captain.
Yes, and I respect that, because I think Nimmo had captain characteristics, and I think I thought Lindor did, but I don't really think that anymore. He's just a good player at this point. But I, like, there, you could have more than one person wanting to be the captain, but I don't know if you really respect the other guy who's viewed as the pseudo-captain, truly respect him, that it would turn you off if you're not named the captain. Like, I don't know, there's no equivalent on the Yankees. I'm trying to think of Aaron Judge, but I feel like there's a little disconnect, or there was a little with Nimmo and Lindor as well. I don't know.
Remember with Lindor, some issues go back to what Jason Kipnis had to say about him in Cleveland as far as being and not a leader. Or I don't know if he called him a fraud or something like that. Anyway, I don't even want to go down this road again, because I really don't think it matters that much. Do you think, now we could get into it, sure, I understand that people are going to want to talk about it.
It's hard though, because we don't really know like the depth of if there is a personality issue. You just got to get better players. That's what matters
for
the Mets.
If you read the article, and this is all stuff that I have heard before, so I believe it to be true. Soto is businesslike. He's a machine. He wants to go in there. He's not about the fanfare and the fluff. He's workmanlike, wants to go in, takes baseball very seriously, and go attack each pitcher, each at-bat, all that stuff, and win. And I love that. That's what I want. I want somebody who's all business. Now, you want to have fun along the way, too, but we're talking about trying to win games here. I don't need the guy who's looking for attention or cares about being a captain. I'm not saying anybody specifically. I'm just saying Soto was not that, which is why he thrived with the Yankees. Judge could be the captain. Let Soto go to work and be the machine that he was. Obviously, he put up monster numbers with the Mets here, but when he got better, it seems like the team got worse for whatever reason. Maybe other people were jealous. I have no idea. What I know is Soto's not doing anything wrong. I don't care if he's not nice or hard to get along with. Marte and him have a great relationship. Other guys are having fun with him. So everybody's going to always have something to say about somebody, whether it's Soto, whether it's Lindor, whoever it may be, McNeil, Pete, whatever. Pick a guy. It could be anybody. The Yankees. Not everybody's going to get along. Not everybody's going to be the same personality. I do not believe that that is the reason why the Mets fell short a year ago. I also believe that whatever issues they had need to be hammered out like adults. Sit them down together. Tell them that they're the leaders of this team, whether it's captaincy or not. I don't care about that. I'm talking about you can't have a divided clubhouse. I'm not saying that it was. I'm just saying in general. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like each other. You do have to play together and win as a team, and somebody needs to be able to figure that out, because neither guy's going anywhere.
Yeah, that's a conversation that I would certainly have with Soto and Lindor. For me, that point is expired. I wouldn't even waste my time having the conversation with McNeil and Lindor. Right. Again, you got to find a suitable deal. You move on. And even, listen, if it's going to be to the detriment of the overall morale of the team, which it may or may not have been to an extent last year, but there were a lot of people who were at the ballpark every day that were saying something's a little bit off with this team. Not saying it's Lindor's fault. Not saying it's all McNeil. I don't know what Soto's role. Although I agree, he just wants to play baseball. I don't know how that would turn anybody off. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was Nimmo wanting to be captain. I don't know. But what I do know is, even if you like the goal was to fix the McNeil-Lindor thing, his contract's up. You're not going to sign him again anyway.
Right, just move
so
on.
Preemptively, just move on and just rid yourself of one relationship that, let's face it, hasn't been great.
BT and Sal on the fan. Chemistry's always some kind of issue. There were different issues with the Mets years ago when it was Scherzer and Verlander and DeGrom.
I remember.
We talked about things like that back then. So it's always, especially when you lose, it's going to be brought to the forefront. But I do believe that there was probably, I don't know if it was resentment or jealousy, or maybe the Mets just feeling like, when I say the Mets, I mean some of the players in that clubhouse, maybe feeling like they didn't need the big superstar in Soto, and then he comes in with that mega contract.
Didn't need Soto. I mean, those people are nuts if they're thinking that.
I'm just telling you, Juan Soto. Who the hell's thinking that?
Well, I mean, outside of Lindor, who's a good player, I mean, Pete's really good too from power, but I mean, if the Mets were thinking that, then their mindset is ass backwards.
I'm just saying they went to the NLCS. If you're the player there, you could understand that rationale. Thinking, we don't need this guy.
I honestly, Sal, I couldn't understand that. I think there's certain situations where I think I could understand it more in basketball, where the arrival of somebody is going to directly impact my usage rate. Like now, Curry didn't have an issue with it, neither did Klay Thompson. But when Kevin Durant went there, they could have been saying, hey, we're already champions. We don't need this dude. You know, that's 20 shots fewer for myself and Klay, and sprinkling a couple for Draymond when Draymond was still a really good player. And it didn't hurt them. They won the championship. But I could see that impacting basketball, where shots and usage rate is different. Juan Soto comes in. Lindor's still getting up four times. Yeah. Like, there's nothing that Juan Soto would do that would take away from Lindor being able to, what is he going to run in from right field and try to steal the ground ball from him?
By the way, with it, Lindor. I also think, what if Lindor tried to get Soto to be more? Remember, there was a thing early on with
not wanting to take the pictures, OMG
but
thing.
Like Marte was saying, like, hey, this is how we do
things.
Yes,
I remember well.
Okay,
sure,
so maybe Lindor, as the leader, even if he's not the captain, trying to get Soto to do all that, and Soto just wasn't having it for whatever reason.
Okay. Okay.
So then you can't really blame Lindor.
I agree.
And I'm also not blaming Soto, because let him be himself.
I agree. But provided, you know, Lindor eventually got the message and said, all right, this isn't working, let me let him just be the technician that he is. I would actually applaud Lindor if that was the case, where he was trying to get him, you know, to ingratiate himself to the locker room and blend in. You know, there are some people in every job in the workforce, every job market, where they just put their head down and they don't want any interaction. And not as much interaction. I referenced Mike and Chris before. Now, I wasn't in the newsroom. You were. I wasn't here back then. We know that there was a point where they couldn't stand each other. Then, of course, but they're still among the best of all time, without a doubt. But what I heard, and what just knowing their personalities a little bit, and I know Mike better than Dog. Mike wasn't necessarily into small talk, where I could see Dog coming out and just having a conversation and holding court in the newsroom about who we bet and what are we doing, where maybe Mike was just more a little zoned into the job. Not that Dog wasn't working hard, but they were two different approaches to their craft. And that's probably the case with Soto and with Lindor. And if Lindor tried to ease Soto into the Met world with the OMGs and the pictures and all that stuff, well, then good for Lindor, but you got to know when to step away and let the man do it. If he's not having it, he's not having it.
Now, remember, you and I had this conversation over the course of the summer, where there was an article that came out where Soto was praising Marte.
Oh, yeah.
Quote, I feel like he's actually the captain of the team.
Yeah, that we...
There were more in there, and I was saying that was a direct shot across the bow from Soto to Lindor. People took issue with that or doubted that. How about now? Read those quotes.
Hey, like me now.
Read those quotes again. Now, I'm not saying that... All I'm saying is sometimes I know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? I'm not just throwing stuff out there.
So
when I have maybe heard some rumblings, and then I see a report like that go out there, quote, I feel like he's actually the captain of the team, Soto talking about Marte, and there were more in that article.
I remember it well.
I'm thinking, oh boy, he's now laying it on thick. Maybe Soto just doesn't like Lindor. And by the way, that's okay. It may not be Lindor's fault.
But I'd like to know why he doesn't like him, because that's why I said it was a WBC. I don't know, but if there's a little distaste for Lindor, I'd like to know why, because that's a potentially greater issue, and look into the underbelly of the Mets, know what I mean, under the hood a little bit here. If he's the main guy and he's been here for a couple of years, and, you know, up until Soto came, highest paid, highest profile, blah, blah, blah. You know, and Lindor doesn't get along or rubs some people the wrong way. I want to know why. That's not great for chemistry. But, you know, I just think that whatever you said a couple of years ago and the conversations that this show had before any other show.
Which was a whole different team, by the way.
But that's where I'm going. It's morphing into a completely different team, which in a lot of ways underscores what you and then what we said. Because Nimmo, gone, okay? I think the Pete deal last year was just almost a mercy deal where the owner's like, I don't want to hear from the fans. Give a deal. Get him here. Just get it done. We'll kick the can down the road. So Nimmo's gone. Okay. McNeil's going to be next here. Now, it's just, it's happening, people. I don't know how else to say it. Whatever was said a couple of years ago, it may have been a little bit early and ahead of the curve, and maybe you didn't want to hear it then, but it's proving true.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Harris is calling from Long Island. What's up, Harris?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
All right, Mr. Rick, well, you hit on most of it. I was about to say that, first off, McNeil, just let him go. You know, I know you guys just...
Get rid of him. Not worth it.
You know, you think he's a guy off the bench. He might... I don't think he thinks of himself as some guy off the bench. Get him out. As far as Lindor, I've heard, too, that he is not loved in that clubhouse. I'm not going to say... Look, I don't have his... I'm not going to get into who I hear things from, and it's not important. The point I'm saying is that I've heard that Lindor is kind of known as a selfish guy. He's obviously a good baseball player. He's one of their two best players. And you don't need Soto and Lindor to be best friends, clearly. And the tonic is winning. So if the GM this offseason can put together a team that is good enough to just, you know, have to win the world. They don't have to be a 95 win team, but they can't be another. It just can't be another 83, 84 win, barely, you know, trying to sneak into the third wild card team. Or these kind of stories are just going to explode, and that's all that you're going to be hearing about is Lindor and Soto don't get along, and it's going to really ruin, you know, what they're trying to do. It's going to, you know, it's going to make for a long summer.
Well, I think last year, Harris, good points, good call, appreciate it, buddy. I think last year was the... Yeah, if they needed to really see it again and or hear it again, I think last year was like, okay, this is not the way we can't move forward with this. Now, yeah, the starting pitching giving you no chance to win, the bullpen arms they brought in throwing, you know, gas on the fire. Understood. There was a lot of reasons why the Mets only won 83 games and colossally underachieved a year ago. And I think depending upon the situation, you mentioned like the 86 Mets. I mean, Keith and Darryl were swinging on each other at pitcher day. I know, may he rest in peace, and my God, he was awesome. But, you know, a lot of the guys used to make fun of Gary Carter back then. Now it's all, you know, he was a great leader, mm-hmm. a great captain. He played so hard. Darryl says, I wish I was more like Gary Carter. Right. He says that now. Because Gary, very religious, didn't drink, didn't step out on his wife, really was, you know, a well-moraled, well-principled man. And a lot of those guys back then were not. But they made fun of him. They didn't hang out with Gary Carter. Reggie and Munson, Alex and Derek, you know, when it first started with the Yankees. That's fine. If you've got a lot of talent, if you're a fringe team, then that's where chemistry matters.
Yeah, okay. The Mets were relying heavily on chemistry in 2024 because they didn't have enough talent. So I'd rather have the talent every day. And I also don't think it's the chemistry that sunk them this year. That's my bigger point. I'm not disputing any of the reports. And by the way, again, this is old news, not just because we were talking about it. There was another article, I think Disha Dosar wrote about it before Puma had it. So to me, reading that was, okay, yeah, who doesn't know about this stuff? And also then the second part is, was that the primary reason the Mets had issues? I don't believe that it was. Something clearly was not the same as it was in 2024. The vibes weren't the same as they were with the OMG Mets, where you couldn't have a more vibey season, for lack of a better term, than they had. So much so that they went on an incredible run. But that team wasn't very good either. It took an incredible run just to barely make the postseason, and then they got hot in the postseason before getting dismantled by the Dodgers. So they have a lot of work to do as far as building a ball club. I would not look at the Soto-Lindor, whatever cold relationship, as something that either A, can't improve, or B, is going to prevent them from winning big over the next several years.
Yes, but I'm looking to remove basically everybody else from the equation that may have an issue with Lindor, unless you are, and there's just not...
Right, but what if Lindor's the problem? You can't just say, well, Nimmo's the issue, Soto's the issue, McNeil's the issue,
yeah,
whoever else.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. But listen, getting rid of Nimmo was an obvious baseball thing.
Yeah.
You know, no arm, you know, not on base the way he used to be.
The issues, declining.
The injuries, declining stuff, the contract not great moving forward. That's a baseball-driven move. You know, Listen, Lindor very well might be the issue.
I'm just saying, like, you could say, well, get everybody else out.
Eventually, you're going to have nobody on the team. But, that, you know, I get it. The Bucks got to stop somewhere. And to me, just again, from a distance, it seems like the onus is now on with all due respect to Lindor, the onus is on him a little bit to kind of change maybe. I don't mean how he gets ready for a season. I'm not talking about baseball. But if there are some little disconnects from a personality perspective, instead of trying to force it on Soto with the vibes, just let him be Soto. You know, now if McNeil's back, you got to make amends a little bit here. And the young guys coming up, you got to lead. You've got to be more adaptable to the personalities in the clubhouse. He seems fairly rigid with that. You know, especially if you're a captain, like one of the great things of being the captain is that you are adaptable. You can relate to anybody in the room. It seems like there's too many guys in the room who don't really want to talk to Lindor or just don't feel him, if you know what I mean. So that's got to change. And if it doesn't, then you're going to have bigger issues downstream. But you start with McNeil. Get rid of him. He's not good enough to keep around.
As I'm watching the Giant game last night, as we are watching the debacle that was, all of a sudden, a little news. I believe Jeff Passan is the first one to break the story. Will Salmon, that's 100% correct. I apologize. Will Salmon of The Athletic was the first one to break the story. He announced that the New York Mets are signing Devin Williams to a 3-year contract. The money's kind of come out. It's about... it's a little more than $50 million guaranteed. That's how Jeff Passan put it. John Heyman talked about it's 45. It's 45 with $5 million a year deferred or something. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, Devin Williams will be a New York Met for the next 3 years. And to me, this is one that's fun. This is just a nice, easy, laid-back take. I don't have to work too hard. I don't have to come up with anything. This is nice and easy. I don't care how much money, because we'll see how it impacts the offseason. As again, only the Mets. The Mets have now made two impact moves. They have traded away Brandon Nimmo, and they have brought in Marcus Semien, and now they have free agency have signed Devin Williams. Both of them, you have to reserve judgment before you can make a comment on. Because here's the fact of the matter. We'll see what happens next. Because if Devin Williams is the closer for the New York Mets, I hate it. If Devin Williams is now the closer and Diaz goes somewhere else and the Mets don't bring him in, and this is the replacement for Devin Williams because they don't like where the contract negotiations have gone with Diaz. They think the market is probably going to be robust for him. And this is they went out immediately and made sure they got a top reliever on the market. Now, we can argue whether that he is that or not. His ERA wasn't very good, but if you look at it, and I was reading this as well, the underlying numbers are still very good, right? His changeup was still one of the better, if not the best pitch in baseball. It had the most movement. It had swing and miss. It had everything you're looking for. He is still widely considered, despite having a subpar year for the New York Yankees, despite being a disaster at closer, losing that job. Down the stretch, it was pretty much him and the closer were the only two pitchers that the Yankees trusted. That's it. He was one of their two relievers that they felt comfortable going to late in the game. That's it. So if he is the setup man to Diaz, then I really don't care about the money. Steve Cohen makes a lot of it, or has a lot of it, should I say. He just got approved for a gambling license and is going to open up a casino and whatever else around Citi Field with the expectation of an opening up in 2030. So I don't care about the money. We all know he's the richest owner in sports, or at least in baseball. And we'll see what he wants to do. But here's the easy take. Devin Williams as the closer, not good enough. Devin Williams as a setup man to Edwin Diaz, you're talking about a very good back end of the bullpen. I think Devin Williams will produce. I think he's gotten over any sort of New York issue that he might have had at the beginning of the year. I expect him to be good. I think he's better suited for a setup role than a closer role. I would feel more comfortable with that. But it's not even necessarily about the idea he can't close. It's the idea that he's not Edwin Diaz. I think that's fair. I think Diaz has proven that he is, right now, over the last handful of years, the best closer in baseball. And I don't think, with the state of the bullpen that the Mets have, a swap at the closer position, Devin Williams for Edwin Diaz, helps you. In fact, I think it makes you worse. So, it's wait and see. Do you like the Brendan Nimmo trade? I don't know. I'll tell you at spring training. Do you like the Devin Williams signing? I don't know. I'll tell you when we find out where Diaz is going. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. I expect him to produce. I expect him to be a good setup man. And even as a closer, I don't think he'll be a disaster. I don't think this is about, well, he can't close. This is bull crap. He's going to be a terrible closer. He still might be one of the better closers in baseball. He might be still, you know, a decent closer or even a better than decent. But he won't be Diaz. And the Mets have too many holes in their bullpen to just bring in Devin Williams and swap him out with Edwin Diaz. Not good enough. So I find it interesting that that's the case with the New York Mets. It's also interesting that they keep signing former Yankees. And I'm not trying to be the Yankee like guy, the butthurt Yankee. Like, you could think that. I really don't care. But it is kind of weird. There's a lot of them now. Back-to-back off-seasons. Back-to-back off-seasons now. The Yankees' big-time trade acquisition. They traded for Juan Soto the next year. Signs with the Mets. Traded for Devin Williams, although they were probably less interested in giving Devin Williams a contract extension right then and there than as they were with, as least they would have been open to with Juan Soto, although he had no interest in it. They go out and trade for Devin Williams. They give up a pretty good prospect who played third base for the best team in the National League, or at least the best record in the National League during the regular season. And immediately, he signs with the New York Mets. But I can tell you, as a Yankee fan, I don't think anyone's losing sleep over this. It just wasn't a fit. I think he would, if he would have come back, he would have been fine. I don't think I would have worried about him in the bullpen for the New York Yankees. I expected him, again, I wouldn't have made him closer again. I still would have stuck with Bednar as the closer of this team without question, unless things changed, but if the Yankees would have signed him, I expected a good reliever. I think you probably would have got more of the pitch you got in the second half than the first half. But for $50 million, you know, for $15 million a year, you know, I guess right now, and $5 million a year or whatever, to $1 million a year or $1.5 million a year deferred over the 5 year, over the 3 year contract, whatever it would be. Or, you know, I don't think the Yankees are missing out here. I don't think this is something that is, this isn't like Bellinger. If you allow them to go get Bellinger, same thing, they traded for Bellinger too. Obviously the Yankees. You can't let that happen again. I told you, you can't let it happen. Now you've added another name. I said you can't have back-to-back off seasons where the prime acquisition is stolen by the Mets. Now you can't have three back-to-back-to-back trade acquisitions that get taken away. Guys that you gave up equity for. You gave up Cody Petit for Bellinger. You gave up assets to acquire these players, and then you lose them immediately to the New York Mets. Can't happen again. But look, this is an easy one. Again, it's an easy one. I think Devin Williams and Diaz is a very good back end of the bullpen. That is an excellent, excellent start to really rounding out this bullpen. I still think they need more arms, but not arms at the top level of those two. That is a good eighth and ninth. Now, if you remember, Devin Williams does not do more than one. You know, he doesn't do more than one inning. He doesn't do windows. That's it. So, you're not going to have that 7-8-9. That's more of a Diaz thing. Diaz is capable of going multiple innings. Devin Williams will not. He did it in the postseason. So, I mean, listen, if your life's on the line postseason or, you know, playing against the Marlins to try and beat out the Cincinnati Reds, maybe you can get him to pitch a little bit more than one. But typically he's a one-inning reliever. But that is a good 8-9. There is no doubt about it. You've got Raleigh. You've got Minter coming back from injury. That is a decent back end of the bullpen. That is a solid, very good even. That's a very good, those two lefties, those two righties, that is a good back end of the bullpen. You probably still need a couple of arms to round out the bullpen, but you know, you could find them a bunch of different ways, and they don't have to be this top-level arms. Like, you've got your top four guys, two lefties, two righties. That's the Met bullpen. If you bring back Diaz. If you don't, and now Williams is your closer, now you have to go out and find another back end of the bullpen arm, and you have just hurt yourself at the closer position. So we wait and see. The reports are this has not taken them out of the Diaz market. Everyone's reported that. John Heyman's reported that. Andy Martino's reported that. Jeff Passan's reported that. Like, the Mets are still talking as if Diaz is on the table, but I do think there is a line. I think this is a little bit, I mean, I still think they're in on Diaz. Do not get me wrong. I'm not trying to say they're not. But it makes it easier to have a line in the sand with Diaz if you already have a Devin Williams in place. It is a little bit of a, hey, Edwin, we want you back. Here's a number we deem extremely fair. If you want to go beyond this number, hey, I brought in Devin Williams. We'll live. That could be part of this and really test to see how much Edwin Diaz has an appetite to leave or an appetite to go above and beyond and try and get every last penny if the Mets don't deem it worthy, I suppose. But again, this is a move that is now contingent on whether or not you bring back Diaz. If you do, fantastic. If you don't, the Mets are worse off today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.